Always there is mystery in the air, a fact of life that the gospel writers never allow us to forget. In today's beautiful gospel story on the Mount of the Transfiguration, the awesome power and the glory of God was mysteriously revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And for Simon Peter, who witnessed this revelation, everything had fallen into place, or so it seemed. He said to Jesus, "Master, how good it is for us to be here. Let us set up 3 shrines." What Peter was saying, in effect, was, "Let us stay here. This is ever so much better than the dusty roads of our wanderings, ever so much better than the hungry crowds with their difficult questions and all the troubles of those people." He was saying, in effect, this is really the way that a religion should be. Everything bright and beautiful and crystal clear. Now, Peter was not entirely wrong. It is true that a shrine is fine and a church building is fine, but it is not a place in which to live. A church building is a place in which we come to gain perspective and to receive new directions for real life in our real everyday world. We cannot afford to stay on the mountaintops. We must always return to the valley. To the valley to do the work that the Father gave us to do. But we return to the valley always as changed people. We have come. We have seen the awesome power of God revealed. And then we go out and return to the struggle with the mystery of life, confident that we are always accompanied by the Spirit of God's beloved Son, the risen one, his chosen one, who now dwells with us, within us, with renewed strength. We have come to the Eucharist to see his glory. We have listened to his word of strength. We have learned from him the direction in life we should take. And then we leave and go back to the valley of everyday life. And now we are no longer quite as afraid. We leave here and return to the valley of the squabbles of our families. We return to the squabbles among nations. We return to the valley of the political and the social and economic problems, to the valley of the tensions, the anxieties, the ambiguous moral decisions. We return to that valley of everyday life and find, as Paul said today, that so many people go about in a way that shows them to be the enemies. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ, our brother. Maybe some of you are old enough to remember the old movie, "How Green Was My Valley." Others of you younger remember having read "The Greening of America." But in both instances, the valley is over-sentimentalized. The valley is depicted as a place of beauty and loveliness. It is lovely and beautiful, and we think then everything will come up roses as a result. But today Paul says, no, that is not how it is. Paul tells us the valley of everyday life is an arena of a mysterious contest that continues to go on to this very day until the last day between good and evil. Paul tells us that the valley of everyday life is a place where our total lives are stamped with this divine mystery of our ongoing sorrows and joys, our pains and pleasures, our fears and our hopes, and our difficult relationships with other people. In last week's Time magazine, there was a good description of today's television preachers, who are so often simplistic in their depiction of everyday life. Some of these popular TV preachers today seem to be saying that all we need do is to think positively, or else to have some kind of a traumatic religious experience. And then they say everything is going to be all right in our everyday life. We can then let the rest of the world go by. Other preachers in television today are calling for some kind of renewal, for a hard-nosed realism. They tell us to set aside our dreams and to abandon our visions in order to learn how to come to terms with the real world. But their real world is just and equally a fantasy. They are, as one notable critic has said, crackpot realists. Their kind of realism has led to the quagmire of war and social injustice, whether it be the Philippines or Central America, that kind of confusion. The biblical truth always is, where there is no vision, the people will always perish. There is vision, a mystical vision that informs and shapes our Christian engagement with our real world. In our faith, we have been to the mountaintop. We have seen the Lord transfigured. But the Lord has not told us that everything is going to be all right in our world. And neither had he told us that everything will be all right if we will just give free rein to our naturally good selves and just let it be. The Lord invites us to partake in the mystery of the cross. The transfiguration before the disciples of Jesus was just before he went to Jerusalem to suffer and to die for people's liberation and freedom. The mystery of the cross. Jesus invites us, urges us to follow him. He recruits us for the cosmic battle, the ongoing, everyday, real-life world, cosmic battle against the principalities and the powers that rule the present time. And he asks us in turn to suffer persecution in his name. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, he says, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And we are, Paul tells us today, citizens of God's future world. We are citizens of God's coming kingdom. And yet we hold a citizenship that is here now. We are now citizens in this country, in this culture, in our own economic system. But this is a provisional citizenship. Today we are unlanded immigrants. We are a pilgrim, wandering people. But we are always at the same time a people ahead of our own time. Our real home is in the land that is to be. But this does not mean that we are less committed now to this present land of our real world and to the present time of everyday living. To the contrary, as a people of faith, we are fully committed because it is to this land and to this time that we are in the process of transforming. As the risen Christ's transfigured people, but it is not yet complete. Because we have been to the mountaintop and heard the good news, and because we have seen the vision of all things made new, the new creation in Jesus Christ, we people must stand firm in the Lord. That is what Paul tells us. Paul tells us to stand firm against those people who would distract us with their smug words about everything being all right. If only we'll think positively, and then everything will be all right. Stand firm against those who would destroy you with idolatrous words about how naturally good and trustworthy are your appetites. Stand firm against those who try to seduce you with talk about the highest goal in life being simply the satisfaction of your natural hungers. Stand firm and be true to your real self, the self that is gradually being transformed now, transfigured now, into the image of the risen Lord. Here, now, in the valley of mystery, the mystery of everyday life, each of us takes up our cross of our sisters' and brothers' pain. And here now in the valley of mystery of everyday life, we set our feet on the road to justice. And we set our eyes on the New Jerusalem, the city of peace. And we keep our ears open, turned to the voice of Him who invites us into the world that is yet to be. But we still walk now as pilgrims. But meanwhile, by the Eucharist, by the bread and the word, we are gradually being transformed so that we recognize that our whole world is enveloped in the wonder of divine mystery. And ours then is not to try to manage or to manipulate the mystery or the wonder of Bethlehem or the enigma of the cross. Ours is to accept and to enter into, by the gift of our faith, into this awesome reality that our God has actually become one of us in His Son. And through Him He tells us that He loves us. And then from the cloud of the Word, He speaks to us in His own voice, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Learn how to listen to Him."